This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining me tonight. A bit of a programming note, not much of a program tomorrow because we will have St. Louis Cardinals baseball tomorrow night as the Cardinals will be in New York to take on the Mets, and that pregame starts at 5:15. So we'll try to get to you some of our usual information, including sports and business news, before we have to make way for the Cardinals tomorrow night here again, 5:15 on WGIL. April, as you know, is Child Abuse Prevention Month. We talked about that earlier this week on the program, and we talked about the annual Hands Around the Courthouse event, which was this afternoon at the Knox County Courthouse here in Galesburg. A number of government and local officials and children and parents and many people alike all tried and got really close, I'm told, to stretching their hands and arms all the way around the courthouse. So that's a great thing, but we wouldn't have to do it if child abuse wasn't happening in our community, and it is a lot. So we're going to bring you the ceremony from this afternoon in its entirety. We won't take a break, so we thought you would want to hear the entire Hands Around the Courthouse ceremony this afternoon.
I'm so glad everyone could come. The weather this time is much nicer. We did this last week in another county and it rained on us the whole time, so we're really glad to be here with some sun today. My name is Jill. I am the executive director of Turning Point Child Advocacy Center here in Galesburg. I'm also the chairperson for the Blue Ribbon Task Force. Thank you guys, everybody, for joining us today for our Hands Around the Courthouse. I am going to hand the mic off to Aaron, who is going to tell us a little bit about the Blue Ribbon Task Force, and then we'll keep going. Thanks.
Good afternoon. My name is Aaron Olson. I am a member of the Blue Ribbon Task Force, and I work at the Knox County Health Department here in Galesburg. The Blue Ribbon Task Force is made up of representatives from the following agencies: Bridgeway, Bright Futures, CASA of West Central Illinois, the Center for Youth and Family Solutions, Family Planning Services, Initiative for Girls, Head Start, Knox County Child Advocacy Center, Knox County Teen Court, OSF Resource Link, Safe Harbor Family Crisis Center, YMCA Early Learning Center, the Knox County Health Department, the Department of Children and Family Services, the Regional Office of Education, Victim Services, YES, which is Youth Empowerment Services, United Way, and Birth to Five, and more. And if we forgot anybody, we do apologize, as we are adding many new agencies, even just from last week, to our group as we grow. Some of the statistics about why we are here today. The Illinois Child Abuse Hotline has received over 174,000 calls so far this year. 20,643 kids were indicated by DCFS so far this year. As of March 31st, there are 189 kids in foster care placements in Knox, Warren, and Henderson counties, and 121 kids were referred to the Child Advocacy Center for Child Abuse Services in fiscal year 23. And at this time, I have the pleasure to introduce, for the second year, Jill McClintock from Lincoln Prairie Behavioral Health to come up and speak.
Good afternoon. As she said, I'm Jill McClintock from Lincoln Prairie Behavioral Health Center in Springfield. I am honored to have been asked to come back this year. I think at last year's event, I may have shocked you all with how many nieces and nephews we have, and in December we added another niece, so we're up to 24 now. But for those of you who are not aware of our services at Lincoln Prairie, we provide inpatient mental health treatment for children and adolescents 17 and under. It's hard to believe that I've been there for over 15 years now, but what's even harder to believe is how many of our patients are exposed to abuse and neglect. In 2023, we served 2,323 patients, and approximately 75% of them had experienced abuse and neglect. That's 1,742 children and adolescents. Keep in mind, it takes an average of 3 years for a child to tell someone that they have been abused. I shudder to think about how many have never told anyone, or by the time they've reached out and disclosed, how much time has passed and circumstantial situations have changed. And like many of you, I often wonder, what can I do besides my daily job tasks, responsibilities, So first, we must ensure that our ears and our hearts are always open to listening. I am the mother of 3 daughters, 9, 6, and 4, and I assure you this is a daily challenge I have to always be actively listening. I think that their daily word count is maxed out by the time I've dropped them off at school. But I have to remind myself to listen to these everyday stories and some of the mundane details of their day. So that way, when big things do happen, scary stories are, that they have, that they are, know that they can come share them with me. We must also stay vigilant to the changes in behaviors. A story about our 6-year-old from last summer. At this point, she had been dry at bedtime for almost 2 years. The first morning when she woke up wet, I brushed it off. I honestly was probably more annoyed that I had extra laundry to do, and anybody who's put a mattress pad on the mattress cover know it's like just shy of an Olympic sport. But, so I went about our day. The next morning when she woke up wet, that's when I started to panic. This definitely was unusual behavior. That night after bath time, I made sure to have a conversation with her about safe touches. Telling people no if they were doing something that she didn't like, and making sure that she knew she could come tell mommy or daddy if these things had happened. Thankfully for us, the 2 accidents were caused by a week of 100 plus temperatures where at night it was still 85 degrees, and her little body was just exhausted from that heat and an excess of beverages to combat it. However, it provided an opportunity to have a conversation with her and her sisters. And I think it's important to remember that those conversations aren't just one and done. They constantly need to be happening. If they have new behaviors like that, or they've made new friends, they're starting a new camp, they're starting a new grade, they're starting to talk about a friend and hanging out at their house, that we just constantly need to be having those conversations with them. I recently joined the board of directors for the Pediatric Resource Center in Peoria. If you're not aware of their services, I do urge you to learn about that organization. They provide medical evaluation and social services to children who have been abused from 50 central Illinois counties, birth to 18. I had the privilege of hearing a training session of Dr. Petrek, who's their medical director, on the effects of sexting and media on child abuse. Oh, I have a copy of that training. If anybody wants to see me after, I can send you a recording of it, because this is scary, folks. And like many of you, this is an uncharted area that we're just maybe not prepared for, especially as our youth become more tech savvy, even younger and younger. But we need to have those conversations as often. We need to remind kids about accepting friend requests, responding to chat requests, getting on sites that are intended for older people. And even if they know a friend on one of their social medias, a gaming system, if there's new behaviors happening, they're trying to have conversations that are inappropriate or making them uncomfortable. And for someone who does not use that side of my brain, this seems like absolute warfare on our kids, and I'm terrified of what the perpetrators are capable of. Dr. Petrek also talked about a study that was done several years ago where they interviewed the perpetrators, and they were like, tell us what we could have done differently, these families, what they could have done. And they were like, the parents should talk to their kids, because if they're not going to, we will. And so I come back to, again, having these very crucial conversations and having them often. They may come with eye rolls, they may come with uncomfortable giggles or sighs, but we need to continually have them. So I just want to thank you guys for letting me come back out and speak again. And thank you for coming and supporting all the kids who are represented by these pinwheels.
Well, thank you, Jill, for joining us today. My name is Kelly Radke. I'm the executive director of CASA of West Central Illinois, and I'm going to tell you how the blue ribbon became the symbol for child abuse prevention. This is Bonnie Finley's story. Bonnie Finney, a grandmother from Virginia, connected the blue bow to child abuse prevention awareness in the aftermath of her grandson Michael Wayne Bubba Dickinson's death as a result of child abuse in Chesapeake, Virginia in 1988. Her daughter, herself a victim of domestic violence, was sentenced to 5 years imprisonment for failing to do more to protect her son. Luther Ray Phillips Jr., who committed the crime, was sentenced to 55 years imprisonment. Bonnie Finney wrote the following story in conjunction with Prevent Child Abuse Virginia. It is used by permission of Prevent Child Abuse Virginia. I only had one child. She was a beautiful little girl, the light of our eyes. We knew she had entered into a stormy marriage, for we brought her home several times in the 5 years it lasted. We suspected heavy use of drugs, but in those 5 years, three beautiful, healthy children had been born. I loved them dearly, and they loved me. The children were 16 months, 3 years, and 4 years. My grandson was hospitalized for abuse. He had bruises on his body and cigarette burns on his hands. His doctors did not believe my daughter's story that he fell in slippery water in the bathtub. After the ordeal at the hospital, my grandson was placed in foster care for 3 weeks. He cried when they came to return him to his mother. He told his foster mother, "My mama don't love me," and begged to stay. I ached for his dilemma, but I wasn't physically able to care for him. The courts believed that home was the best place for him, but I knew better, and I told, no, I begged them not to return him to his mother, but I was overruled. My grandmother's instinct didn't count. I never saw Bubba again. My 16-month-old granddaughter was hospitalized after being beaten severely, her leg broken in four places, and her hand burned from the tips of her fingers to her wrist. It was only then that the search was on for Bubba. We learned that he had been killed, wrapped in a sheet, stuffed in a toolbox, and dumped into the dismal swamp canal 3 months earlier. My efforts to understand became a plea to stop abusing children. I tied a blue ribbon on my van antenna to make people wonder. It caught on locally with restaurants, businesses, police, and TV and radio stations, supporting me in my efforts to make it a real awareness campaign. Please wear a blue ribbon. Put one on your car. Give one to your friend. Tell them what it means. You may save a child's life. If you suspect anything is happening to your children, your grandchildren, the child next door, please act. If you get no response, try again. You may not hear their screams, you may not see their bruises, so check for the hidden pain and watch for the silent screams in their eyes. This was taken from the Children's Home and AIDS Society of Illinois.
Again, this afternoon's hands around the courthouse ceremony at the Knox County Courthouse this afternoon, as April is Child Abuse Prevention Month. There were blue pinwheels all around the grounds, a lot of people wearing blue, and a lot of people holding hands in support of child abuse prevention. More Galesburg's Evening News with sports and business news next on WGIL.